Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. In today's broadcast, we hear the third part of Dr. Beakey's sermon, How Can I Help My Family Overcome Worldliness? In the first part of this message, Dr. Beakey drew from 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, to speak of the problems of worldliness that we need to overcome, including the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. In the second part, he spoke of how we can become committed to overcome worldliness by God's grace working in our lives to give us an active faith. Now, he'll speak of the means for overcoming worldliness and helps to maintaining that overcoming. As you listen, may the Spirit give you ears to hear.
Well, that then leads us to the question of what means can we use for overcoming worldliness now in our family? What practical means? Well, what are some practical means then to help me and my family as we do battle against worldliness? Well, we call these the spiritual disciplines, or some of them you can call the means of grace, but let me give them to you rather rapidly here, because time is ticking. Number one, saturate yourself and your family with Scripture. That's the obvious one, isn't it? Know and love the Bible. Memorize it, search it, meditate upon it, live it, love the Scriptures. And a wonderful thing for a family to do, by the way, would be to try to bring together a formula for godly living in the family. And I've got one here I want to give you. This is one from 1 Corinthians. It just has a few questions. Let me give them to you. Here's a course of action for life. If you could paste this not just on your refrigerator door, but everyone in your family could carry this with them wherever they go, it would be wonderful. They could think about it. They could ask this question before they make decisions. Number one, does what I'm about to do glorify God? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Doesn't glorify God, don't do it. Number two, is this consistent with the lordship of Christ? 1 Corinthians 7:23. Number three, is it consistent with biblical godly examples? 1 Corinthians 11:1, we're to follow the examples of the godly. Number four, is this lawful and beneficial for me, spiritually, mentally, physically? 1 Corinthians 6:9-12. Five, does this help others positively and not hurt others unnecessarily? 1 Corinthians 10:33 and 8:13. And then finally, does this bring me under any enslaving power? 1 Corinthians 6:12. And if you learn to think biblically like that with your family, just doing exercises like that together and talking with them, how are we to live in this world? Talk with them about it. That can be a big help to your children. Number two, read sanctifying literature. There are thousands of really good, deep, wonderful, simple too, books today that we can read far more than ever, ever before. Don't go to the local Christian bookstore and pick out some little fluffy book that has no substance to it. Get the real meat for your family and read it together. And read J.C. Ryle's Holiness, for example, or John Flavel's Keeping the Heart. Just great, great material, so well grounded in the Scriptures. In my life, I can say to you that of all the means of grace, reading sanctifying literature that challenges me, encourages me, allures me, invites me, admonishes me, has done more for my soul than really anything else. Number three, listen to sermons well and do them. Get that little book, The Family at Church, and go through that with your children. How to come to church and how to listen and how to benefit from a sermon afterward, how to do the sermon afterward. You should go over these kinds of things with your children, because otherwise your children, well, all of us, will just start taking church for granted after a while, unless we really stop and think about the incredible opportunity that coming to God's house is, that the living God is speaking to us from Lord's Day to Lord's Day. Fourth, exercise daily conscientious family worship. And please, 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 I've pleaded with you so many times on this for your own soul and the sake of your family. And still, I'm afraid some of you aren't doing it. Don't stop with just reading the Bible and having a prayer. Sing with your family. And most important of all, talk with them after you read. You dialogue with them. And they see your spiritual leadership. And again, we've provided you a guideline for that in our family worship Bibles. You just read, after you read the Bible, read those sections that it just takes 1 minute. And at the end is a question. And you didn't talk with your children. That is invaluable. It has transformed many families. Do that, please. Please do that for the sake of your own family. You'll find it wonderful. You'll find it helpful. You'll find yourself freer to talk with them about any subject, because every day you're talking with your children about the things of God. Family worship is the most golden opportunity to train your children, Father, in the precepts of the Lord. Five, fellowship with believers. Associate with people that are most godly. Look out for people who are more godly than you are and associate with them. That goes for you too, young people. And bring those people into your home, fathers, and talk with them spiritually around the dinner table. Let your children hear those wonderful conversations. That can have a powerful influence against worldliness in your family. Six, have at least one accountability partner. For yourself as a dad, but also encourage your children to find a close, godly friend with whom they can share their heart and their life, their struggles, maybe with sin, and to seek out a person that can give them wise, godly advice. Number seven, engage with your family in prayer beyond your own family, in some prayer group. Of course, we encourage, first of all, the prayer times of the church as a whole. And again, we say that chapel should be more than over full on every Wednesday when we have a prayer, group prayer meeting. We should have to use this whole sanctuary. This is 1 hour a month, 1 hour a month when we seek the face of God together as a family. Let your children come with you. Let them feel the power of prayer among the people of God. What a blessing that is for a family. I can honestly say that all of my children have said to me at some point that this is one of their favorite things to go to, and one of the most blessed things, to be with the people of God, praying to the throne of God. Don't keep your children or yourself from such a privilege if you would beat back worldliness in your family. Prayer is critical. And then, delight in the Sabbath. Let your children see that this is your great joy. This is the market day of the soul. Let them feel in your whole spirit, your whole demeanor, the great joy on the Lord's Day. We get to go up to hear what the Lord has to say to us, children. What a privilege. We get to rest from all prosecuting all of this world's business, and we get to traffic in the heavenly business of the things of God. What a gift the Lord's Day is. Teach your children, and the Holy Spirit alone can give it in the heart, of course, to love the Sabbath day by your example. And then, evangelize and serve others. When your children see you concerned about the souls of others, evangelizing other people, serving other people, reaching out with a glass of cold water, with a meal here, with a token, a gift here, when they see your other person-centeredness and that you're not living to just get more things and consume yourself with the lusts of the flesh, that has a profound impact upon children. And I can say that in the lives of all my brothers and sisters. When I saw my dad and my mom give themselves for the service of the Lord, it had a profound impact on all five of us. This is the way to live, is what they were saying, with their own life, without saying it verbally. You serve other people. That's where you get your joy and your strength, serving others in the name of the Lord, evangelizing. And then number 10, live on the growing edge. Live on the growing edge. And by that I mean present tense, total commitment to God. You want to learn something from every sermon. You teach your children, whatever you do in life that's worthwhile doing, do your very best. Grow, grow, grow. And when you grow in the things of God, the things of this world will become strangely dim. Don't fall prey to the one more time syndrome. One more time, I'll be a little worldly and then I'll change. No, tomorrow's holiness is today's impurity. Tomorrow's faith is today's unbelief. Teach your family the old proverb that says this, sow a thought and you'll reap an act. Sow an act and you'll reap a habit. Sow a habit, you'll reap a character. Sow a character, you'll reap a destiny. It begins in your thought life. What you think and what you believe is how you will live. Well, in closing now, let me give you some helpful hints to remember for maintaining the overcoming of this world. I just have time to give them to you as a list almost. Number one, teach your children to remember to treasure time. Every minute is a gift of God. Help them to hate with passion the expression, I'm just going to kill time. Time is more valuable than gold. This life is so short. You want to spend every minute of it in the service of the Lord. Number two, teach your children to fly to Christ with every failure. The time to hide from Christ is never a time when you sin. In fact, never a time to hide from Christ. But when you sin more than ever, you need to fly to Him for mercy and compassion and forgiveness. And teach your children, by your own example, but also verbally, that Jesus Christ always receives coming penitent sinners. He will never turn one of them away. Three, teach your children, if you would overcome worldliness in them, to remember the camel's nose principle. There are things you need to tell your children. I don't think this is good for you because of what it might lead to next. Because of what it might lead to next. Let the camel's nose get in the tent. Soon the whole camel will be in the tent. We need to stand on the Word if we're not going to stand with the world. We must live above the world and not be of the world while we are yet in the world. And so we must say no to things. Sometimes that people don't understand why we say no. But we don't want to get the camel's nose into the tent of our lives. Number four, remember to train your children to view sin as abominable and heinous before God and allow yourself no excuses for it. No open window space for sin in your life. Even sin that seems so innocent. When the phone rings and you don't want to answer it, you don't tell your kids, tell them I'm not home. You are home. That is a lie. You teach them to lie, you'll teach them to sin in other areas, and they will magnify your sins. There are no little white sins. You teach your children integrity. You teach them that sin is abominable. You teach them, like the Puritans taught their children, that there is more evil in the smallest sin than there is in the greatest affliction. Sin is our great daily enemy. Oh God, deliver me. Be merciful to me, the sinner. Teach them to look for heart idols. Teach them to repent. Teach them that believers have to spend their lifelong prayers in repentance. Luther's first one of his 95 theses, God will have his people live repentance lifelong. Speak out against sin. And then, remember to teach your children to cultivate a holistic kind of holiness. Not just Lord's Day holiness, everyday holiness. I want to live holy before God. That's what your life should say to them. Study its joys. Separation from sin, consecration to God, conformity to Christ. That's what holiness is. Those are joyous things. Teach your children that holiness is great joy. You don't get happy by seeking happiness. You get happiness as a byproduct of holiness. Teach them that. Six, teach them to cast aside all negative peer pressure as something not worth bothering with. Peer pressure? What does man think of you is nothing compared to what does God think of you. So teach them not to be bothered by every little thing that people say about them. It's trivia. Ask, what does God think of me? That's important. And then teach them to remember that God promises victory to those who seek him in truth. He will not turn a covenant child in particular away. He longs to work along covenantal lines. He's baptized you, children. He's willing to be your God. Go to him. Go to him with your sin. Go to him with his promises. He promises victory to those who turn to him with all their needs. And teach your children who are saved, those who do know spiritual life, to always remember who they are in Christ. If you have converted children, thank God for that. But then teach them who they are in Christ. Like Paul says in Romans 6, I reckon myself dead unto sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ my Lord. I've got no business being worldly. I'm a Christian. That's how you should talk to yourself and to every believer. Well, let's remember then that as we go forward in this great battle, we need, first of all, the help of the Holy Spirit. That's the first conclusion. We need the help of the Holy Spirit every step of the way. Spirit of God, help me. We need, secondly, to repent of every known sin and pursue obedience. Repent of every known sin and pursue obedience. And thirdly, we need to persevere in the holy war. Don't give up. Don't give up. Even when you fail, just go back to the Lord again. He will be faithful. He will keep you. Never, never, never give up on the Lord. Don't resign when you fail, but resign and go back into the battle and run the race set before you, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Gracious God, we thank thee for the practical nature, we trust, of this sermon. And we pray that our fathers may put it to use in their families, but also that every one of us may take it to heart and may look to thee for help and guidance and grace in overcoming the world. Lord, help us to beat it back by the power of thy grace. And help us to love the things of God, to set our affections on the things above and not on things of this earth. So be with fathers in this huge task. Give them daily grace to be examples themselves, but also daily grace, particularly in family worship, to speak to their children of the things of God in a loving, winsome, convicting, respectful way that will make their children say, this is the only way to live. And bless it to that end, Spirit of God. We ask all this in thy superabounding grace, which is more powerful than this world. So prepare us for the world to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live."